Welcome to the Mum Boss Podcast, hosted by me, Renee O'Neill. I'm your host, life and business coach for mums, and a mum of two myself. I'm here to help you be the present mum you're wanting to be, whilst also having a successful business, because you can have both. It doesn't have to be one or the other. You have come to the right place if you're a mum who dreams of time and financial freedom and wants to be fulfilled in life alongside motherhood. This podcast is a place where you can come to be inspired and empowered whilst also getting tangible tips, advice, and strategies to help you in your life and business. So let's dive in. So today on the Mum Boss Podcast, I have another guest episode for you, which I'm very excited about. These conversations that I get to have are honestly just my favorite, and I really love that I get to share them with you. So today I chat with the beautiful Claire of Mamahood My Way, and she is like the queen of self-care. Claire shares her personal experience with postpartum depression and how she overcame this time of her life in a way that might actually be a little bit different to what you've heard before. This episode is an emphasis on the importance of self-care, but also might be just the permission slip you may feel you need to do motherhood on your terms as well. And I can't wait for you to listen in. Today on the Mum Boss Podcast, I am very excited because I am bringing you a very special guest. So Claire, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Sinead. I'm delighted to be here.
It's funny because Claire and I, before we hit record, we were just talking about, you know, the process in having guests come onto the podcast. And I was sharing that, like, I'm really intentional with the guests that I bring on because I want them to, you know, be that expert, that, you know, the highest quality guests that I can find for you, the listener, to be able to listen to. And I am very honored to have you here because I know that we're going to have an incredible conversation.
And God, no pressure.
Yeah, no pressure. But I know that, you know, the conversation that we're going to bring is going to be something that is very from your heart and something that I feel is very needed to be shared and talked about. So I guess for the listener listening, would you like to share a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do?
Of course. So I am Claire. I run a podcast and what I like to call it is a bit of a movement called Mamahood My Way. And I started Mamahood My Way, only about 9 months ago. Can you believe that? Quite wild. But after the birth of my own son a couple of years ago, it was a really tricky time. I felt like I'd been hit by a bus. And instead of just focusing on recovery through traditional routes of like the medical path and seeking professional help, I took it kind of within my own hands and thought, what can I do to help myself here? Because that's a bit of a mess, I'm not going to lie. I think a lot of mums will be able to relate. You know, we throw about words like postnatal depression and post-traumatic stress and birth trauma as if it's kind of normal or that we just should expect that that happens, but it shouldn't, but it does. And I felt like the system kind of let me down a bit. So I looked to different modalities to help me. And that was things like taking myself on a self-care retreat to support my nervous system, breath work, yoga, massage, basically taking exquisite care of myself. And as a result, I was able to get well again and become the kind of the mum that I really knew that I could show up as, but really wasn't for the first kind of 18 months. And after I'd done this, you know, I was getting asked a lot, like, how did you recover and what did that look like? And people say, you know, you should do the thing that people ask you about the most. And that's when I thought I could talk about this. I could talk about this, that you don't have to be a slave to motherhood. You don't have to give up your identity or really just lose yourself. There are ways to come back to yourself. And for me, that was through self-care. It really was. And I think self-care, again, it's something else that gets thrown about as kind of just, it's easy to do and it doesn't really mean anything, but it really can make all the difference to mums, especially in that, you know, postpartum period, which goes on way longer than the fourth trimester, as we all know. So got on the mic, downloaded a little app on my phone, made it super simple for myself, and started chatting about doing mamahood your way. So mamahood my way was birthed 18 months after the birth of my son. And since then it's grown into workshops around manifestation and values and planning for your future self and goal setting and all the things that I'm really passionate about. And I'm learning about myself as I go. So I'm just sharing that with mums, and I'm hosting my very first retreat, Self-Care Sanctuary, in July. 12 mamas, I'm taking them away. We're going to go to a beautiful beachside house and just learn different modalities to take exquisite care of ourselves and how we can actually build that into our daily lives in the manicness of mamahood. So that, I guess, in a nutshell, is what Mamahood My Way is all about.
I love that you share and speak from your own personal experience. And I think that it's so needed in what you speak about too, because you've actually walked the path that your clients are currently on. And I think it's very different when you have that lived experience that you can speak from. And so
I think, I think it really helps. And it's the type of business that I was always going to run, or the type of passion that I was always going to have comes from that lived experience. I used to actually be a dating coach not that long ago, from my own experience online dating in my mid-30s. I used to support women with writing their dating profiles for Tinder and Bumble and Hinge, and then have like one-to-one coaching sessions with those women, because I kind of went on a bit of a journey with trying to find a baby daddy, actually, and went on 80 dates with 49 men, which is a story in itself. But that support came from the lived experience that I had having this really intensive dating, kind of throwing myself into the dating world and everything I learned. And I just wanted to share that and really stop others from having to go through the pain. And often we can't do that, but we can provide support. And I feel like there's a lot of support around traditional kind of areas like sleep support or nutrition or, you know, postpartum health, but there's not really anything out there that supports mums with, well, how do you come back to your desires? How do you come back to your dream life? Like, what does that now look like? It's kind of like everything's just thrown up in the air and you're expected to catch everything as it falls back down, but you're actually in the most fragile state of your life because you've just given birth. So I'm super passionate about it. And I think, speak from a place that you've of lived experience, and that's where the gold, there's so much value to share. And I love being coached and being supported and mentored by people who have gone through the same.
And I also think it's just as powerful if you're working with somebody who hasn't too long ago been in that part of their life, because I think if they're only a few steps ahead of you, they still really deeply remember what that feeling was like. They remember the support they needed. They remember the tools that they needed. And I think that really helps being able to, as a coach, guide your client through their own transformation, but also knowing that, you know, your experiences are going to be different from your clients as well. I mean, it's not going to be the exact same path, but there's that common connection, that commonality that draws you to each other. And I think that's really special. Something else I wanted to touch on though was that you shared that people were coming to you naturally, and then you sort of birthed the idea from there. And I want to speak to that because I think that is something that we can so easily ignore. Like when we get these little intuitive signs, these little nudges from the universe being like, hey, this would be a great idea for you to start this thing. And if you get it repeatedly as well, it's so easy for us to bypass and be like, oh no, like that's not for me. So I'd love for you to share what made you go from that point of having these people come to you and say, hey, look, this is something you could do, to actually going, I'm going to go all in on this.
Well, it was interesting because no one said this is something you could do. It was really that I was being asked, like, you know, how do you find time to do these things? How do you, you know, how do you trial and error, like what self-care works? Like, how did you decide that, you know, how to design your life? So I'm really passionate about purposeful, intentional living. That's like what I found was really nurturing my soul and helping me come back to life. Like I really lost myself. Like I'm, you know, we don't need to go into the ins and outs and that's in the podcast, but it was really awful. And for someone who is, you know, always been, I would say, on paper, like high achieving, academically kind of very ambitious, and always been just working up the corporate ladder in the education system. And then I just fell apart. I just completely fell apart. So people in my life started to see me rebuild from a place of like the ground up. Like it was literally like I'd bulldozed. My life had been bulldozed from the minute that I went into labor, and I just wasn't myself. Like it was so wild. I mean, I've been through some experiences in life that are, you know, not that fantastic, but nothing prepared me for the complete topsy-turviness of new motherhood and, you know, difficulties with feeding and sleep and all the things that I just don't think we talk about enough. But that's not what Mamahood My Way is about. It's acknowledging that those things are going to happen. So those things are outside of our control. There are things that, you know, we can't control if we're able to feed. We can't control our babies and if they have tongue ties and if they're going to be a good sleeper, quote unquote, or if they're going to have health issues or if they're going to be premature, goodness, you know, all of these things are so outside of our control. But what we do have inside of ourselves is that ability to come back to our bodies, to our minds, to our breath, to very basic things that don't need a lot of time, don't need a lot of money, but they can make all the difference. But it's practices that just seem so difficult when you're in the throes of exhaustion and new motherhood. But I managed, like, I basically, the starting point was quite dramatic of this whole journey, which was when my baby was 8 weeks old, I committed financially and from a time perspective to go on a 3-day retreat. So I booked it when he was 8 weeks old and I was going when he was about 4.5 months, which was huge. And everybody in my life was shocked. They were questioning it. They were saying, is this the right thing to do? I was still trying to feed at this point, but my intuition just knew that I had to go and do this. I'd actually said no to it. Like when I was pregnant, I was like, there's no way I can do this. Like I don't feel like it's the right thing. When I was approached about going on this retreat by a former mentor, and then something, when they got in touch again, and it just so happened that there was still a space, I just knew that it was the right thing to do. And it literally changed my life. There was a woman there that came, like one of the contributors, one of the facilitators, who she was a doula randomly. Like I didn't know, it wasn't for mums. This retreat wasn't for mums. It was for women. And it wasn't women in business, it was just women. And it was focusing on like the sisterhood and come, you know, fill in your cup and your deepest desires and connecting back to yourself. Little did I know it was going to be so transformational. It was so beautiful. It was so hard. Like I ended up having my husband and my baby stay just a couple of kilometers down the road. It was all very like, it was meant to be, right? There were so many fortuitous things that happened that meant that I was meant to be there. And the women I met on that retreat and the experiences I had, but I had this like visceral breakdown, and it just completely changed me. And I literally feel like I walked in pretty broken, and I came out on the start of my healing journey. And it was a long road. Like, I was really physically and mentally not well, but it was the start, right? And that's where you've got to start somewhere. And it was just a total game changer. And that's when people started to ask me, so what did you do, and how did you do it, and how did you like leave your baby? And you know, and I just felt like there was this real interest and like curiosity from people, like, you're doing things a bit differently here. Like, how, you know, what maybe I could take some inspiration, not full, like a lot of people couldn't leave their babies at 4.5 months. Absolutely. That's not right for everybody. Well, it's not right for a lot of people, but for me, it was definitely the right thing to do. And it was that intuitive nudge that took me there. So then I started talking about intuition and really tapping into your knowing and knowing yourself. And then, you know, it just became, it just grew. And it was over a year of people taking me, you know, my mum's group, people kind of asking me in group messages, different questions about my self-care practices. I developed a little thing called a self-care stack that basically I just took lots of different things that, like habit stacking, but for self-care. It's not particularly complicated, but it's really impactful when you just build one really bloody joyous thing on top of another. So I started getting asked about things like that. And then that's when I thought, because I had had some exposure to people who were business mentors, and I listened to a lot of podcasts, and I knew that, you know, if you have a passion and you have something that everyone's asking you about, they see you as the expert. I didn't see myself as any sort of expert, and I still don't, but I thought maybe I could just jump on the mic and start sharing. And that's what I did. I launched the Instagram page, and within I think a month I'd release my first episode. And since then, it's just, yeah, it's become more than I ever thought it would be already. And I'm just in love. It's a side hustle, but I'm absolutely in love with it, and it fills my cup. Being in this space is just the most fun I've ever had.
I love that so much. I mean, you know, my biggest mission in my business is helping mums be fulfilled in something they're passionate about, and I love seeing that in you, you know. And I think even though our listeners can't actually visually see you right now, you know, I'm sure that they can hear it in your voice, you know, how passionate you are about what you do. And, you know, it's interesting, isn't it? Because sometimes I feel like the word self-care, sometimes we have this perception of it. It needs to be going for facials and massages and, like you said, going on, you know, retreats and these big, beautiful things, which it's amazing to go on those things, but self-care can also be a really small thing. You know, it can just be simply spending 10, 15 minutes in the morning, sitting with your morning cup of coffee, enjoying it peacefully on your own. Like, it doesn't need to be these big things. And I love that you even shared that, because I think it's the foundational pieces, those foundational habits and practices that we can put in place that we dismiss because they're so small and we think they're meaningless, but they have the biggest impact on how we feel, how we show up in our day-to-day, how we show up as a mom. You know, if we're giving back to ourselves, it makes a monumental difference and flow-on effect for our family. And, you know, something I've spoken about here on this podcast is, yes, using self-care to refill our cup, because that is our energy source where we can, you know, supply energy for ourselves. But we want our cup damn overflowing. So we've got the overflow to give to everyone else. And we still, at the end of a day, we have something left for ourselves, because quite often as moms, I see, you know, so many, and look, I'm guilty for it too. No one's perfect in this camp, but, you know, we we spend some time doing some things for ourselves to refill our cup, then we pour it back out on everyone else. And then we end the day exhausted and feeling defeated because there's just nothing left in the tank for us. So I love that you shared that. So I guess, what are your biggest tips for somebody who's listening, who's the mom? They're like, oh my gosh, self-care is out the window right now. Where is that starting point?
It's so interesting because I've been reflecting on this quite a bit. I've just finished in Mamahood My Way, a free challenge for mamas. And I had about 25 women join me in a private DM chat group. And I had a prompt a week. So for the whole month of March, it was called Me Time March. And the idea was to just put the spotlight onto your self-care and what that looked like. So each week I gave a prompt. So it might be that you had to ask for something. And that could mean a whole different range of things. That could be asking something of your partner. It could be asking something from work, like flexible working. It could be asking for a few more boundaries around communication in the group chat. It can be so many things. And I kind of shared ideas around that. One of the prompts was booking in something. So planning something. Like, it was just different ways to think about what self-care might look like for you. But I think I would, like, for the mom who feels so overwhelmed, the simplest way to come back to self-care is to ask yourself the question, what do I need right now? Like, what do I need right now? And it doesn't, if you stop for a second, and the more you do this, this is where self-care practices have the most impact when you're consistent with them. So this is where doing a spa day once a month isn't actually going to make a dent in how you feel overall in the year. Like, that's, you know, having a girls' night away or girls', you know, brunch once a month or every couple of months is, yes, it's going to be amazing. And it's, you're creating memories and you're spending quality time with your besties, but it's a snapshot of time. And then the rest of the month, like, you've got 30 days. So if you're only spending 3 hours filling your cup a month, it's just not going to cut it for the amount that we have to exert energy wise. Like, I was watching Mel Robbins today and she was talking about energy as a currency, and we need to save our energy. We need to invest our energy wisely. And I just thought about it from the self-care perspective, like, how can we create more energy by looking after ourselves? And I think asking the simple question, like, it's really basic, but this is for the mum who feels like she is bottom of the pile, bottom of the to-do list. Don't make it another to-do list thing. Don't make self-care something you have to add to that list. I used to be that mum back in the day, so long ago, like literally only, you know, 18 months ago, where I would add, like, read a chapter of a book, and I'd put it on the to-do list, and then it would become something else I had to bloody do. And I went to see a Reiki healer, and she said, stop adding things that should bring you joy to your to-do list, like beach walk. Like, now I only go on a beach walk if I feel like I want to go on a beach walk. There are things that you have to do that are, like, good for you. So I don't see, personally, and this is where we get very personal with self-care, it has to work for you, but I don't see like my exercise regime, which is Pilates, as self-care, because it's something I have to do, like, to look after myself. It supports my physical and mental health, but it's not self-care. Like, it actually doesn't fill my cup. So this morning I got, like, 2 hours sleep last night because daylight savings. Oh my God. No. So annoyed by this. But anyway, aside from that, I got up, I was meant to go to Pilates, and I said, no, I'm not going to Pilates, but I am going to go on a beach walk because that is what's going to fill my cup. So I asked myself, what do I need right now? I actually need a beach walk with some self-care stacking of a podcast shout out to We Don't Have Time for This and a coffee. And that is what I needed. And it's just, that's a really simple question we can build in. Look, there are so many ways that we can design our life with self-care built in. We can have magical morning practices. We can ritualize our daily routines. There are so many things that we can bring in. We can look at our sensory, you know, smell, touch, taste, visually. Like, there are so many ways that we can organize our lives and our homes to support our self-care practices. But that's going too much too quick. Like, we just need to start really simple as mums and not overwhelm ourselves, because it's fucking overwhelming already. Are we allowed to swear on this podcast?
Yes.
Good.
I love that you've really spoken on this, because I definitely have in my motherhood journey, and I mean, my gosh, I've got a 10-year-old now, so I've been a mum for quite some time. But I remember
taking tips from you, babe.
I remember at the beginning stages watching YouTube, and I would watch these mums, and I was watching them to be like, you know, where can I get some tips on like how the heck you manage this whole mum life thing, especially as a new mum too. It's a whole different ball game. And so I remember watching, and they'd be like, you know, set up a morning routine for yourself. And look, I'm all for morning routines, but one thing I know didn't work for me was this rigid, strict, get up at this time, do this thing, then go do this, and da 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 da. And it's like, no, like, I'm big on with my clients exactly what you shared of what do I need in this very moment? What is it that my body needs? What is it that my mind needs? What is it that I need? And then something I do, which we've actually talked about this before, is creating a self-care menu. So writing down a list of 100 things. You did hear correctly. I did say 100 things that is not just refilling your cup, but things you actually love and enjoy. So it can be big and small things. It can be literally sitting down with your cup of coffee. It can be big things like, yeah, girls' weekend away. It can be everything in between. And then you've got this menu of all of these things that, depending on the time restraints that you've got or what you just feel like you need, you can look to this list and be like, what's something I can do today? And I promise you, even on the busiest of days, you'll have time for one of those things. It doesn't need to be these big things. You don't need to carve out an hour a day for self-care. It can just be small little things. And I know for me, like the other day, and you said about going for walks with a podcast. Like, I love podcasts. Podcasts are my jam. And I love to go for walks and listen to podcasts. But the other day I was like, I don't need that today. Like, I need quiet. I need silence. So I put my earbuds in with nothing. Like, there was nothing. It was just quieten out all the noise around me, because I was walking along like the waterfront, but there's like traffic and things in the background. I was like, no, I need silence. So I went for this big hour walk in almost silence. I could hear muffled noises in the background, but that is exactly what I needed. I needed just some time to just be without any distractions, without any noise, and just quiet, because I know that as mums, you'll be able to relate to this. We don't get a lot of quiet time. So sometimes we just need to disconnect and be like, I just need some quiet time.
But isn't that just so, what's the word? I mean, I feel like it just shows how much you are connected to yourself and your intuitive muscle. You've actually really built that. You've nurtured that and strengthened it, because you were able to go, I actually need to regulate my nervous system. I need there to be quiet. I need it nothing to be in my ears. And it's something that we get to do for ourselves quite easily. So when I'm doing that exact, asking myself what I need, I will be like, do I want to listen to something? Yes. Do I want to learn something? Yes or no. If I don't want to learn something, do I want to listen to a fiction book on audio? No, I don't want voices, right? Do I want to listen to music then? Yes. Like, so I'll kind of have like a tiered, and look, it's very it's so intuitive now that I don't have this line of questioning. It's literally just like I'll run through this vibe, like almost like, yeah, just a hum in my body, like, yep, yeah, that's. And I, you know, today I had the whole day off. I'm off on leave from my day job. My wee boy was at daycare and I've got my parents staying with me just now and they were out. So I had the whole day and I had multiple kind of blocks of time where I was thinking to myself, like, what I want in this block, what I want in this block, what I want when I'm making my lunch, what I want when I'm eating my lunch. And some of the time it was silence and some of the time it was music and some of the time it was a podcast and some of the time I went and watched TV. Like I'd watched like an episode and a half of that Sex Life on Netflix. It was really good. But it was like, I just lent into what I need right now. I did that the whole day. And sometimes I was in silence journaling and other times I read a book, like, and it was just, it was really, really beautiful. But I think that is a muscle that needs to be built over time. And if we start doing that too early within our self-care journey, I think it can be really overwhelming and make you end up just throwing the towel in with it completely. And that's when you end up not holding boundaries, you know, really emptying your cup to the point of depletion, burnout, and ultimately becoming, you know, potentially unwell. So we don't want to get to that point. So we want to keep it really, really simple, really small. I'm actually learning at the moment to be what is called a tiny habits facilitator. So it's there's a methodology, it's called tiny habits, and it's basically exactly that. So you pick something really small to start with. And once you start, you know, the consistency of doing one thing every day. So the one thing that we always start with, it's called the Maui habit. When you get out of the bed or whenever your feet touch the ground or whatever your cue is when you wake up, whether it's pull the covers off of you, you say, today's going to be a really great day. And you do that every single day. And the reason that you do that isn't just to have some positive affirmation. It's to actually build that evidence base that you can do something every single day. That's like brushing your teeth. One time, you know, previously you didn't brush your teeth every day, but you had someone there telling you to. It's really hard to build a habit. So it's even harder to build a habit when it's around yourself as a mother, when we have been taught and the expectation has been set in society that actually, we don't matter. We come last and we have to give everything else to everyone else. So to make it really simple for ourselves, we have to start tiny. And that's where I thought, you know, learning more about tiny habits and how the kind of, I guess, the scientific side of not building that capacity within your brain, I'm just loving it. I'm really loving it. And I think it's going to help a lot of mamas in changing their lives. Like it's helped me change mine.
Yeah, it's remarkable what you can do when you do just build one little habit and it becomes this like unconscious thing that you just naturally do on autopilot, and then you build another one, and all of a sudden you'll be so far down your journey and you'll look back and reflect and be like, wow, look how far I've come. Look at like where I've changed my life around and like where you've made changes. And I know for me, like when I became a mom 10 years ago, it's so strange to say that.
It's wild to be.
It is, but I feel like motherhood really cracked me wide open. And even though it came with so many challenges, because I felt like I had a difficult starting point of my motherhood journey as well, I feel like it really brought me to life too. Like it's just this weird yin and yang of like, it was one of the hardest things that I'd ever been through, but also one of the most beautiful. And like, I feel like I'm my truest version of myself from being a mum and like stepping into this whole motherhood journey. Do you feel like that too?
Absolutely. I think I heard someone reference the Phoenix today in a coaching call I was on. And it was nothing to do with motherhood, but it's exactly like that, like the burning into the embers and then the rising again and the kind of coming out up from the ashes. I feel like that is exactly how I felt. But when you're in the thick of it, when you're in the trenches, like you're a decade out from your firstborn, a decade out from your firstborn? Yeah. So it's like you never forget, but it's a different, when you have that retrospective look back, like the reason you are where you are is because of all of those experiences, difficult and joyous. And I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't be having this conversation with you today had I not gone through all of those really trying and testing and breaking points. And so I am now so grateful for everything that I went through. And I actually said that to a friend today who is struggling. Well, she's not struggling day to day, but she hasn't really been able to speak about her birth since it happened a couple of years ago. And I said, you know, she said it must be triggering because my podcast episode this week was talking about the birth, referencing it in relation to something I had a bee in my bonnet about, which was birth announcements. And she said, oh, it must have been really triggering talking about it. And I said, actually, not now, like 2 years out, I'm able to talk about it because I've done so much talking therapy, not just through like traditional routes of therapy, but like through the podcast, talking to other mamas, sharing our stories. Like there's so much healing to be done and support that can happen just by sharing from a place of like real rawness and realness. And that's what I love about this community that I've found on Instagram mainly, that's where I have these conversations, like where people feel like they can get really honest with themselves and with each other about how fucking hard it is and how they want to change it. Like, you know, I don't have a girl, but bloody hell, I wouldn't want her to have to experience this. I would want her to, I would want it to just be, there be an awareness that this is what can happen, but this is how we can support each other and ourselves. And we actually need way more support than we think we do. I mean, 10 years ago, you wouldn't have had anything like doulas and meal delivery services and, you know, chiropractors and people coming and closing the bone ceremony and all these things that we do now. But you got through it. And I think even more so, I think we should feel empowered that even although we still got through it and we're still here to tell the tale and we're spinning gold out of it, like essentially for our lives. Like I feel like I am literally, yeah, the happiest version of myself that I've ever been. And I'm 30, how old? 9 this year, this month.
Yeah, it's so true, isn't it? Like I feel like that real raw vulnerability is what connects us, and more than anything, it helps us not feel so alone in our journey, because everyone's motherhood experience, everyone's birth experience is different. Everyone's is, you know. And so being able to communicate that and connect with others and share, it just helps us feel so much less alone, because it's still so easy for us to feel like there's this one way to motherhood. There's this one way of how we should do things. And when we feel like we don't measure up to that, that's when we start going, okay, there's something wrong with me. We internalize all of these things come in. And I think when we look to social media, we can look to it to sort of be inspired by or to feel like get this support that we need. But quite often what we're met with is these unrealistic expectations, these picture perfect mums in these picture perfect houses with these beautifully orchestrated organization cupboards and like all of these things, that it just makes us go, oh my gosh, I'm so far from that vision, that you can, you know, crumble from that as well. And I think it is about, especially when it comes to the social media side of things, finding your community and your tribe of people who you can feel really supported and connected with. And like we kind of touched on before, it's like quietening the noise of everything else around you, because I find that with the mums I work with, a lot of comparison comes up, and that is a big thing to tackle in itself. And I think that's where things have probably changed more so now than when I became a first-time mum. Obviously, social media was around. It wasn't that long ago, but it's probably not the beast that it now is either.
No, you didn't have dial-up computers, but you did have social media. You had Facebook. I think it was probably more Facebook at that point. And it was more, I mean, I actually think that can be more toxic, actually, because you don't necessarily, you aren't able to curate like who you're friends with. However, that's a beautiful share, because number one way to look after yourself, this is a self-care thing you can do at the weekend or whenever you get a spare hour, instead of sitting and scrolling, sit and actually curate your social media feed. Mute those people that trigger you. If there's certain content that doesn't make you feel good, get that out of your feed. Like, unfollow. Don't feel pressure to follow people. No one notices if you unfollow them. You don't get an alert like, oh, so-and-so's followed you or unfollowed you. People have hundreds of followers, if not thousands. Like, nobody is monitoring that. I have just really let go of that, like, worry and fear and stress and people pleasing aspect, and created a firm boundary around who I follow. And I've found myself like over explaining it a few times to people, because I do mute people, but on the whole, I'm pretty comfortable with it now, because I've been doing it for so long. And every few months, I'll just notice that there's maybe some content that isn't making me feel good anymore. Or I've come out of that season. Like, I'm not in the season of baby-led weaning, or not that I did that, but in the end. But, you know, I'm not in the season of toilet training. I am in that season. But you know what I mean? It's like, whatever season you're in, like, you might want to curate content that helps you, but then when you're out that season, get rid of it. Like, really analyze, like, does my social media feed, do those stories at the top of your bar light you up? And see if I see someone's little ring and my, like, intuitive hit is, oh, I don't want to watch that. I will immediately go on to their page and either unfollow or mute. Because that's my sign that's not filling my cup, and it's not personal, and it might just be something that they've shared, like, you know, that's just not quite aligned with how I feel. I've done it multiple times today. Like, it's just now, again, it's just second nature, because I'm just solely focused on feeling good. Because if I feel good, my family feels good, and it just kind of like fritters out from there, you know, the ripple effect that we talk about. It's so critical. And I think that's why we underestimate the value and the power of self-care. Self-care is literally just about feeling good, and then what that can help you achieve in your life. And coming down, you know, back to business and how you support women in such a large part, you know, feeling good is only going to help you achieve great things in that space as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
Do you find that with your clients, that the people that you're coaching, like, does it ever come back to the fact that they need to look at their self-care or taking care of themselves?
Oh, absolutely. And I think one of the biggest pushbacks is always, I don't have time. And I think it's because there's this illusion of, I need to create an hour in my morning for a morning routine to do all these things. And then I need to do an hour at night for a night routine. And yes, if you're a mom who has little ones that aren't sleeping through the night, then my gosh, as if you're going to have time for an hour routine in the morning and of a night, like, it's not possible. And so I think it is. And, you know, I feel like this is the main thing that we want to get across in this episode, is that self-care does not need to be a big time consuming thing. And, you know, you only need these small little pockets of time that we can give back to ourselves throughout our day with the time that we have available to us within the season of life that we're currently in. And I know that life can be a juggle. It can be all consuming sometimes when we're a mom. We've got jobs, we've got businesses, you know, we might have health concerns, we've got family, friends we're trying to maintain, like health. I mean, there's so many things that when you start verbalizing it out, it's like, oh my gosh, this is overwhelming.
Just thinking about it. Yeah.
But it's like, even within all that, finding these little moments that are just to give back to yourself. And even if it is while you're waiting for the kettle to boil, you just stop and take three deep breaths. Just three deep breaths. That in itself is a little self-care mechanism for yourself to give back to yourself, to give yourself that little like nervous system hug that you need to help you keep going throughout your day. And so I think that's the biggest thing that I feel like people don't do self-care because they feel like they don't have enough time, not recognizing you don't need a lot of time to give back to yourself.
That's what I really start is like remove the concept of time and let's go back to what it is that makes you feel joy or makes you feel good. And coming back to your menu, we had a little chat about this in the DMs because when you spoke about it and I said, oh my God, that's one of the prompts in the Me Time Challenge. And one of the prompts was, let's create a self-care menu, but let's look at it from the perspective of when you've got a lot of time and a lot of energy. So that's like your platinum self-care list. That's like your, you know, your brunch date or your date night with your partner or your half a spa day or your flotation tank or like, I don't know, the paddle boarding or whatever lights you up. So that's a lot of time and a lot of energy. That's your platinum. Then we look at the gold list, which is some time, some energy. So that might be your beach walk or like an hour long podcast or an hour long yoga practice or just, you know, doing some breath work on the floor. I don't know what, reading a book on the sofa with a coffee. That's some energy, some time. But then you've got your list, the bronze list, which is no energy and no time. So I came through to my bedroom 5 minutes before we were recording this podcast. I've just put the baby to bed. I've got my parents. We've just had our dinner. I've loaded the dishwasher. You know, it's 7 o'clock at night. So I'm trying to get ready because I'm going to the gym in the morning, getting out, you know, my outfit so that I can shove it on at 5 a.m, blah, blah, blah. Like all the things. But then I was like, I actually want to feel good coming into this episode. So my self-care was literally putting on my diffuser. So my oils, I keep my water next to my diffuser with a like little bucket of oils. And I just popped that on. And literally that was my self-care for in that moment. Like what I need to calm my nervous system. Sure, it would have been great if I'd had half an hour to sit with my oracle cards and center myself and do some breath work and, you know, get all centered and yummy. But I didn't have the time. I didn't have that, you know, pocket. So I didn't even think about the time aspect. So I just thought, what can make me feel good? And then you don't resent it. You just do the thing that makes you feel good. You fill your cup up. And you get what you need.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm so passionate about it. So create that list. Like if you do your 100 things, organize it into those three buckets. Like loads of time, loads of energy, sometimes some energy and little time, little energy. And see how that helps you so that you don't even need to think about like, so I did this design because I found that I was looking at my menu and getting like overwhelmed. And until I got really good at that kind of intuitive hit of like what I need, it was actually stressing me out. Because the perfectionist in us, many of us, we want to get it right. We want to get self-care right. So this can just be a really easy way to break it down. Right. Let's go to my, you know, sometimes some energy list and that will tell me what I can do. And I keep it on my notes on my phone so I can just pick it up, pull it out. I mean, now it's almost become second nature and I just go to it. But yeah, I try and do at least one of the platinum things a week, and then the rest just fits around. But there's so many things we can do to feel good as mums, as women, as business owners, friends, wives, all the hats. But it doesn't take time. Like, we need to stop with that, because we make time for everything and everyone else. We get to choose how we spend our time is how we spend our life. It's my favorite quote. And you know who that comes from? Miss is where I got that from, and I bloody loved it, and I've been banging on about it ever since, like for the past year. And it's so important that we don't just wait until we get out of the trenches, quote unquote. When is that going to be? When they're five? Like, it doesn't get any easier, right? Like,
I was about to say, as a mum with a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old, it doesn't, in my experience and what I've experienced, it doesn't get easier. It changes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest thing that I've found in going through different seasons with the kids. It's like, I don't feel it's gotten easier, but it's just different now. And
you
I
just
think,
burst my bubble.
Yeah. I think though, you know, I feel more solid in my journey as a mum though. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what is easier. You know, the longer you've traveled the road, the easier that becomes. And I think now I feel very true to myself. I know who I am. I know that I'm a good mum to my kids. You know, like, I think you get more just sold on yourself in your own journey as a mum. And I think that's what changes. Because I think in those earlier stages, I know my personal experience was there was so much self-doubt, like so much self-criticism, like, oh my gosh, the Renee, the mum back then is so very different to the person I am now. And it is through experience, but it's also just that personal growth and development that we just naturally, we evolve into the person that we are along the way. And I think that's what I really love about what you do, is the fact that you have traveled this path, you're taking these people on the journey with you and showing them a different way than what they currently know. And I think that's such a beautiful thing to do. So I guess for the listener that's listening, what would your parting words be for that mum?
Oh gosh, I'm just imagining her sitting there listening to this, and I just want to wrap my arms around her. I really want you to go gently and lightly on yourself. Like, this is a transformational time, and you will not necessarily come out the other side, but it will get easier if you're able to tap into taking deep, exquisite care of yourself. Because what that does is it creates that self-love and self-trust. And so what begins to happen is the mum guilt eases, the shame eases, the boundaries start to be created. Like, the more care you take of yourself, the more you're showing the universe and everyone around you as well, even if it's in a really subtle way, is like, I'm worth looking after as well. Ask for what you need from the people around you. Don't suffer in silence. Like, you don't have to do all the things, and you get to choose how you show up in motherhood. Society doesn't, Instagram doesn't, your friends, your mother, your mother-in-law, whoever it is that you're looking to, if it doesn't feel good for you, change it. And there are people out there that can help you do that. And I just hope that you, if you feel like you want something different, ask for the help. Go and seek out people who can expand you into being the mum that you want to be.
They are beautiful words to end this episode on. So Claire, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Renee. I just
loved our conversation. Podcast. I feel like we need a part two, because you and I, we could go on for a while. So maybe a part two is in store.
You just name the date and I will be there. Loved it. It's been such a pleasure. And I think you are such an inspiration to me. And I'm really keen to support myself with like structures and a way to kind of make my life a bit simpler and easier from a like business perspective. So I'm just watching with bated breath at what you're doing in the other side of, well, not the other side of Australia, but you know, down south a little bit.
Yeah.
And loving everything you're putting out. So thank you. It was honestly just such a beautiful conversation to have.
Oh, thank you so much. So Claire, before we end this completely, I would love for you to share, where can our listeners find and connect with you?
Of course. So Instagram is the place that I am hanging out on the daily, at mamahood.my.way. And you can search Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever platform with the same handle for the podcast.
Amazing. Well, I will pop all of the links to connect with Claire and her amazing podcast in the show notes, so you can easily go ahead and click on those and jump on over to Instagram and let us both know that you've tuned in and listened, and let us know what your biggest takeaway is, because I'd be curious to hear, because I know there's so many juicy nuggets within this episode that I know is going to be very, very helpful. So thank you so much, and I will talk to you very soon. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. To learn more, you can go to ReneeO'Neill.com. I'm so grateful for you being here and super glad you've taken the time out for yourself to tune into today's episode. If you loved the episode, don't forget to hit subscribe so you can catch the next one when it's released. Also, if you share this podcast to your Instagram stories and tag me at ReneeO'Neill, I will be sure to send you a little gift straight to your DMs as a thank you.